Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
What are the best and worst wrestling moments of 2018? It's that time of the year where we look back with hindsight, cold, hard 2020 vision to remember the best and worst moments of the year. I'm Ollie Davis. This is Luke Owen. Welcome to Wrestle Ramble. Just a few more sleeps till Christmas. And we are in, I think it's quite easy to say, Listermania mode.
Oh,
it's
absolutely. Listmas. Yeah, if you bloody love a list video, you have got some coming up your way, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got list out the wazoo.
We've got all heel turns ranked coming. We've got NXT roster call-ups.
Yep. What else we got?
People who have been released.
People who should quit.
Yes.
Oh, rumors.
10 best wrestling matches of the year.
That's you. 2019 predictions, including our own 2019 predictions. God, we have been content machines for the last two weeks, storing up all of these videos like nuts in our mouths that we're just going to then spread out over the festive period.
So enjoy our festive nuts. And now we're going to go through, we're going to look over the best and worst moments of the year. Picked some, you picked some, and you, the SWAF Nation, have also got in touch with yours.
Indeed, we put out a call on the Facebook and Twitter, the SOSH as they're often called, and asked what your favourite or your best and worst moments are, and we've collated those. We're going to read those out and also give our own best and worst moments. And because it is the festive season, it's a time of cheer, we're going to start with the best moments. Hey, positivity. Exactly, leave it on the downer. So, Ollie, why don't you tell me, what was one of your best moments of 2018?
Well, I've tried to be very specific because I wanted really unique moments, not just like this feud or this concept. The opening video package to Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega's widely regarded best match of all time at Dominion in New Japan in June or July this year, which was all based around Kenny Omega before his entrance, and it was so obviously produced by him and the B&V Elite guys, as most of the New Japan entrance stuff is. That's mostly on the guys. Like, there's this wonderful picture from this year's Wrestle Kingdom 12 where Marty Scurll is putting together the feathers on his big wing entrance.
What an entrance that was.
It feels years ago because that was right at the start of the
January
year.
4th. We're so much closer to the next Wrestle Kingdom than we were the previous.
Yeah. So this video package was Kenny Omega all dressed in black, and he's just he comes face to face with Kota Ibushi, who's all dressed in white, and the screen is split like that, and there's these angels' feathers floating. It sounds so over the top, goofy. But this is anime brilliant.
Yeah, totally.
And of course, Kota Ibushi is like this angel who has come down to redeem Kenny from his heelish Bullet Club ways.
Oh,
and you got all the stuff about the one-winged angel in there.
Yep.
There's like thematically, there's so much consistency going on. And they just riff off the scene from Avengers Infinity War where Thanos goes to a young Gamora and Kota says, you know, what did it cost to get this final title match against Okada? And Omega has some flashbacks of the Bullet Club imploding and him having to turn on the Young Bucks, and he goes, everything. And it was just incredible. And they just so happened to go on to wrestle one of the finest matches ever.
Kona Reeves' finest.
Who?
Kona Reeves. NXT, you don't watch it.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know who this guy is. Why is everyone calling him the finest?
That's his gimmick. He is the finest.
Is this like a 10 thing? Where it's going to get annoying to me pretty quickly.
I mean, it's annoying to begin with, I'll be honest.
Is he a heel?
Yes.
Oh, that's okay.
Which is fine. A great video package. Goofy as all hell, but kind of like brilliant at the same time. And actually, really, like, what a story that Kenny has had this year. What a great 2018 that the old Omega has had. The reuniting of the Golden Lovers, what a brilliant angle that was. All of that Bullet Club stuff earlier in the year was really, really great. And that's then spread into the Elite side of things, which is weird because it's like its storyline and reality have sort of combined into each other, which is going to lead into something that we'll probably talk about a bit more in the 2019 prediction show, perhaps. For me, one of my favorite moments of 2018 is just, as a whole, the Gargano Ciampa story in NXT. Just, for me, NXT this year has been all about Ciampa and Gargano and that story. It started at TakeOver Philadelphia in January, where Ciampa returned and attacked Gargano after his what might be the best NXT match of the year against Andrade Almas. And then that spreading through to New Orleans, then to Chicago, then to Brooklyn 4, and then to War Games, splitting off into its own sort of separate thing where Ciampa's doing something over here and Gargano is doing something over here, but Gargano being this brilliant, beautiful babyface at the start of the year, then slowly morphing into this new Punisher-style character has just been fascinating to watch. It's been such a brilliantly told story.
Yeah, the Gargano Black match in particular at War Games too was more of a match with Ciampa via a Aleister Black proxy. Like, yeah. Gargano is in a three-way with Aleister Black and the demon of Ciampa yeah. that haunts him in his head. Yeah. Because there's this wonderful bit where he goes to do his own move from DIY, but does Ciampa's part of that move instead.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's just like, and you look back on certain parts of this Ciampa-Gargano story, like the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic when it looked like Ciampa might turn on him there, to the Brooklyn match that Gargano had with Almas last year, where he lost because the DIY t-shirt was thrown at him. And it's just been all these little wrinkles. Yeah. Even when Ciampa was injured, they were still telling this story. Just like, it's been like 2 years in the making, and this has been like the highlight of this story. In fact, you could almost argue it's been like 3 years in the making, because you had all the DIY stuff as well when they were a tag team. Just, it's been fascinating stuff. I can't wait to see where they take it in 2019.
I genuinely think it's the finest piece of wrestling storytelling ever.
Yeah.
I just, as terms of a whole, goes back to their Cruiserweight Classic, as you said, in 2016, where there's that slight bit of anger from Ciampa.
Exactly.
This is the Mega Powers imploding, and that great bit where Randy Savage looks up at Elizabeth on Hulk's shoulders, and he's like, "What?" But he's
wait
like,
a
but
second.
Then that pays off a year later.
Yeah.
But this is even better than that. The complexity, the characters, the matches.
Oh, man.
I think it's the best. Yeah, I've decided now. It's the best piece of overall wrestling ever.
Great
story,
trilogy,
characters in ring.
And a great trilogy of matches.
I'm going to go for, just as a moment again, just because it was so cool, Chris Jericho revealing himself as Pentagon in All In.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Because I was away. I was on my honeymoon when All In was on, so I didn't actually get to watch it live for a couple of days. I didn't get to see it until like a few weeks after it aired. So I already knew what was going, like what had happened on the show, because I'd watched your review from a hotel room and I'd seen other people talk about it online. And yeah, that was still such an awesome moment. Like, even though I knew it was coming and I knew it was going to happen, it was so cool. Like, it was brilliantly done.
It's like, I knew he was going to turn up, because that's what he does.
That's what Jericho does these days.
But the event was so good. All In as a whole was just a terrific show. And you kind of, I just got into a false sense of security. I didn't see it coming. And even when he hit the code breaker, I was like, but that's Jericho's move. Didn't twig with me. And it was after a fantastic match as well. The Omega Pentagon match is stellar.
Yeah, absolutely. It might be the best match of the whole show.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And it was such a fun event. Jericho's had quite the 2018, really, hasn't he? He's been all over the show. He's been in New Japan. He's been in WWE. He's been everywhere, really.
Yeah, but he's kept himself out of it just the right amount, I think.
I completely agree with you. I would also go with, as a whole, Ronda Rousey. I just think, like,
you think she's a hole?
As a
if I'm ranking holes.
I just think, as what a nice surprise. Because she came in January and everyone was a bit excited. Then she just had sort of these ropey few weeks, like the big point, and then had a ropey few weeks. And it was a bit like, oh no, all this hype, all this build we've been doing, and this is going to be a wet fart of a signing. And then that WrestleMania match, when she teamed with Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, and it was, as I say in a future video that will be going up at some point, it is sports entertainment to perfection. Mm. It is a wonderful wrestling match. And it's just, and she, I think she's been great all year. I've enjoyed, I'd say, 85% of her promos. And I've loved 100% of her matches.
I think pay-per-view matches, sure. Like, she over-delivers and then some in pay-per-view matches. I wouldn't say all her matches I've liked on TV. I think some of them have been quite sloppy. But this is the best. I'm not going to go. Not going to be negative here.
That was usual
negativity creeping in. Ronda Rousey's
been my usual negativity.
It's been a great, great surprise.
It really has been. But let's hear from you, the SWAF Nation, see what you think.
Can I just run through a few more?
Absolutely, of course you can.
Just because we can't get out of here without saying Becky Lynch on Raw. Well, I was going to say, after the invasion with the bloody nose.
I was going to come back to a couple of ours as well. So, and absolutely, we cannot like end off this episode without talking about that.
Well, can I have one that I'm pretty sure won't be in any of the fan shout-outs?
Yeah.
And that is being introduced to Speedball Mike Bailey at a Rev Pro show. Not introduced personally, but just watching the guy wrestle a couple of months ago. And I was drunk. You were drunk. He did this insane spinning kick after an entire match of spinning kicks and backflip double knees the top rope to the apron and stuff. It's just fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. And if I'm going to give a quick shout out as well, like Impact, Slammiversary and Bound for Glory, but two fantastic shows, and Progress Hello Wembley. Mm. One, it was so awesome to be, not like I can't say a part of that show because we weren't wrestling on it or backstage or anything, but it was so cool being in the audience for that. At Liam the Shebang he left a GIF or like a video of a moment where Elias didn't want to sing a song for Maurice. That was one of his favourite moments. At Walu to Go, who we know as Dan, Adam Cole super kicking Ricochet in midair at TakeOver
I think
Brooklyn.
That was New York. Oh yeah, it was
Brooklyn.
No, it was Chicago 2, wasn't it?
No, it was Brooklyn, because I wasn't here for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the most spectacular spots of the year.
Yeah.
But is it more spectacular than Ospreay doing a somersault off of the Ibushi Hurricane Rana, which is actually a Ricochet spot?
Yeah.
That he's done that with Ibushi, but I think the more recent one was better performed.
Will Ospreay, my boy. At Tryhard Podcast says Kenny Omega finally capturing the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. That one comes up quite a couple of times.
I think the video package was better than the match.
At Shocktimus says Titus World Slide from the Greatest Royal Rumble. Yeah,
I just that's a worthy inclusion. Yeah. It's one of the most spectacular botches I've ever seen.
Yep.
And you can show that to anyone and they will laugh because slapstick just transcends all niches.
Never not funny. At Lucas Pullin 86 says the North American title being introduced and won in an awesome fashion. Jared
it's
Connors,
a beautiful belt.
Yeah, it really
is. I will comment slightly on everything you say.
Please do. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I feel like you're trying to steamroll.
Oh, yeah. It's because we've got so many to get through. And I know you've got the clock going there.
Yeah.
Trying to be rigid on the amount of time. And I don't want to let people down. That's my role. But yes, we should interject. At Jared Conister says, despite the aftermath and multiple failed attempts at winning, Shinsuke Nakamura's heel turn at WrestleMania 34, followed by his new entrance music, is definitely on the list. Also, Flip Gordon winning the over-the-budget Battle Royal was a perfect payoff to months of storyline.
Yeah, the Flip Gordon stuff has been very well handled.
Yeah.
And particularly on ROH TV as well, like how Bully Ray has got him over as a heel. No, sorry, as like a new guy. But I put that in my top moments, just Nakamura's new heel entrance music. Sure, the heel turn was surprising and fun, but I think the follow-up, well, at least the first few weeks before they just dropped Nakamura from TV, when he came out with that new entrance video and the music, I was like, that is genius. That's absolutely perfection.
Making people not want to sing along with it was a really clever move. I also like Jared Conister. Clearly, autocorrect got the better of you because he's actually written Shinsuke Nakamura's geek turn. which actually is also true because he did become a geek by the end of the year. Talker of Wrestle at Talker of Wrestle. The powerbomb off the top rope to the floor, talking about the Becky Charlotte match at Evolution. The sheer happiness I felt when Becky won was unparalleled for most of this year, as it showed WWE were going to push her more. Rey Mysterio coming out for the inferior Royal Rumble was also a great unexpected moment.
Yeah, Rey's return. Oh, God, I forgot that happened.
At the Royal Rumble. What a great Royal... Actually, Royal Rumble was on my list. Royal Rumble 2018 was such a great pay-per-view, and it's my favourite Royal Rumble we've had in years. I loved this year's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, the men's Royal Rumble is like top five, maybe top three.
Of all time.
Yeah, 92, 2000...
I'd say 2001. 2001's my favourite.
Yeah, really, really good. And that stare down between the old school and the new school, which involved Ray, John Cena and Randy Orton against Nakamura, Reigns and Balor. That was great.
Great stuff. At Diana Gilday says, Becky's Raw invasion. Such a great moment. Yep. At Hero Fred says, two words, penis druids.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't make my top 30. But
it's amazing how often it came up, I'll be honest with you.
Well, people like to say the word penis, don't they?
Yes. At Jake Selig 25 says, Cody winning his daddy's title at his own events.
That was great. The NWA presentation, just the presentation of that match was spectacular. I didn't love the actual match itself, but just the over... That's Cody, isn't it? Like, he is just so good at presentation.
And it's why it wasn't the main event.
Yeah.
At WrestleNalia says, can we vote for you dancing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure you can.
That's technically wrestling affiliated.
It was a wrestling media con.
Hey, if penis druids get in, I'm pretty sure these dick bags do.
At M. Muck Shubadub says, NXT as a whole.
That's too vague.
Someone called At Jack the Jobber says, Ronda beating Alexa at SummerSlam.
Is that actually him? Is he verified? I don't care if he is. Of course, if you didn't follow that critically acclaimed storyline.
I mean, there's been articles written about it in certain magazines.
Yeah, Cultaholic versus Wrestle Talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, the loser. It came down to one match.
It did.
We thought Ronda would never win the women's
title. It was too early.
But she did.
I just want to say as well, if we'd listened to me, we would have drawn. Because I picked Charlotte to win the women's match.
Yeah.
And you knobs were just like, no. It's not going to be. It's not going to be her. Guaranteed to be her. At KCC _ YouTube says, Roderick Strong selling out and joining the Undisputed Era.
That was a fantastic moment.
Which I did not see coming. So, a wonderful surprise. And I've actually got, as one of my favorite things, it was on a recent episode of NXT. Now that Bubbles Fish is back at Fighting Health, all four of them doing the entrance and doing their pose in the ring. Because you've got Adam Cole doing the Bebe, and you've got Red Dragon doing their Mortal Kombat character select screen poses, and Roderick Strong praising the belts in front of... It's a wonderful presentation. Seeing the four of them at full strength is absolutely great. At Justin C, then a large string of numbers. Buddy Murphy winning the Cruiserweight Championship.
Brilliant moment.
Yep, someone agrees with you. At Ginger Joe 2000 says, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Mixed emotions, I would say, because he probably comes up in the worst list as well.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I guess Nicholas is divisive. I, for one, come down on the side of what the hell. That pay-per-view got drunk way earlier than Nicholas.
Oh, mate, yeah.
And if you just go with the drunk train that was WrestleMania 34...
Wacky show
Nicholas
it was.
Nicholas was fun.
At Real Black Conrad says, Dalton Castle finally winning the ROH title, is one of your faves, Dalton.
Didn't he was champion last year, wasn't he?
Well, that's what Black Conrad's got. At the King Rios, Ricochet's flip to the Velveteen Dream during
that
promo.
Oh, that was a great moment, yeah.
Here's one that I completely forgot about, but I loved. At BlazeRuth _Brady, Daniel Bryan taking the fight to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn after we found out he was medically cleared to compete. It brought a tear to my eye, and I felt like I was in the live crowd roaring with them. I am not fickle.
Yeah, Bryan coming back in general is... Although there were the ropey first.
That's what
six
I would
months.
Say. I would say Bryan's return to wrestling, comma, general. If you go into the specifics, when it all starts to fall apart a bit.
But now it's good.
Now
he's
it's great.
A heel and
now it's great, yeah.
He's a champion.
That was one of my entrants, the new Daniel Bryan. Love the new Daniel Bryan. What have we got? What should we go with next? At EPBIDW, given I was absolutely hammered, as you should be during any WrestleMania, my favourite 2018 moment was when the lights dimmed on John Cena and I saw the dead man deliver a tombstone to remember.
Yes, I also had that in my positives. Yep. So just Cena at WrestleMania in the crowd. Everyone knew what was happening, but they went with it. And the whole, like, the angles building up to that were Undertaker wouldn't answer.
John Cena face. When he did the Undertaker face.
So good.
At Sensational Sarah says Hiromu Takahashi winning Best of the Super Juniors.
That's bittersweet now, though, isn't it?
I know, yeah. Well, that'll likely come up again later.
Oh, man, I didn't say Tanahashi.
The rise of Tanahashi. Or the redemption.
The comeback
of Tanahashi. Absolutely, yes. What else have we got? At RedMess127, us three doing our dance routine with Jushin Thunder Liger dancing along.
I think anyone who's anyone recognises that is greater than Okada versus Omega.
I think so.
Most of the New Japan roster told us that as much.
Oh, pretty much.
Rocky Romero came up to us afterwards and said that's better than anything that Omega's ever done.
Oh, Kushida said the same thing to me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
At Akram, with another string of numbers, says Seth Rollins' gauntlet performance beating Roman Reigns and John Cena on the same night.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, man. At Villaboy89, Ronda locking Stephanie in the armbar at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
the great Quilto says 2018 will forever be remembered as the year of the hair. John Cena's, I'm assuming.
One that can go in either pile.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. At Snack Sabre Jr., Zack Sabre Jr. winning the New Japan Cup, winning a Strong Style 16, and killing it all year, holding his own with the NGPW heavyweights.
Definitely. That New Japan Cup.
Oh, what a run.
That is a tournament all based around making one person a star.
Yep.
And spectacular booking, and Zack Sabre Jr. is a genius.
At Edward Harris _97, AJ Styles as WWE champion.
I disagree.
Yeah?
He hasn't done anything.
He had two feuds, more or less, really. Mm. It was Shinsuke and Joe, and then he lost the belt to Bryan.
And as much as I liked a bit of some of those matches,
mm-hmm.
none of those were out-and-out successes.
At I'm a Play This says WOS Wrestling. Daniel Bryan returning All In and WOS Wrestling were probably the best things, in my opinion. Oh, here's a good one. At Jamie Prestigio 1, Minoru Suzuki getting his head shaved.
That was so good
as
a just a match. That match against Goto, and then Suzuki tries to get away, like Suzuki Goon try and get Suzuki away from having the punishment done, but he's like, no, I have lost. And he comes in and he shaves his own head.
Such a cool
and
moment.
And you're like, you've lost, but now I'm more scared of you.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I mean, we've got to move on, but if you had to flip a coin, if you had to pick, would you go with Suzuki's head shave or Sami Callihan's at Slammiversary?
Ah, man, I would go, as much as I love Callihan. And that should have been, yeah, that's another positive.
I really wish that had been brought up more, actually, because that match, actually, Callihan Pentagon Jr. was so good.
But just Sami Callihan and OVE in general.
Yeah.
The hell of a year.
Got to give a shout out to Sami for stapling the WrestleTalk magazine to Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, and just like, imagine where Sami was at the start of the year with the Eddie Edwards baseball bat thing. That was filmed right at the start of January.
Yep.
And it only really kicked off in February. So he's had a hell of a year. But definitely Suzuki.
Absolutely. Well, let's kick off into some of the worst moments of the year then.
Bringing it down, Luke.
Bringing it down, I'm afraid. I'm going to kick things off, though, going right back to the start of the year with Raw 25. And then slightly later with SmackDown 1000, just feeling like wastes of time. Raw 25 was a bad show. I felt really bad for the people that were in the Manhattan Center being given a real duff deal.
Terrible idea.
And you had like the Revival being completely buried on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was just like wall-to-wall awfulness. And SmackDown 1000, while it was a slightly better show than Raw 25, the most thing they pushed the most on that show was Evolution reuniting, and they weren't even a SmackDown act. So it failed as a nostalgia show.
Yeah, and that was only a last-minute thing because they weren't going to have Batista there.
So I really didn't get on with either of those shows.
I like SmackDown 1000 just because of the Batista Triple H stare down, which was in my most positive moments, actually.
Great moment, but I thought it was a missed opportunity.
I'm going to kick off with the serious one. I think we can talk about all these things, but the real worst moment by quite a long way is a real-life thing, and that is the Saudi Arabia stuff. Crown Jewel. Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Just the Greatest Royal Rumble one, from not having Sami Zayn wrestle because of his Syrian descent, from not having women appear on the show because of draconian laws in that country, because of the show itself, which was all a PR spin, and the like really awkward Iran deal where they ran the... There's so much wrong with that show. And then you're like, okay, well, it's happening now. They're getting loads of money. Whatever. And they somehow make it more controversial for Crown Jewel when Jamal Khashoggi was murdered by the Saudi Arabian government in the Turkish consulate a few weeks out. And loads of companies pulled out of running stuff in Saudi Arabia and deals.
High-level politicians got involved.
Not WWE. No. They stormed ahead. They pared it back a bit with the... They didn't have
someone cutting a promo that essentially, like John Cena's promo at Greatest Royal Rumble is sickening, where he just came out and was just like, I've had such a wonderful time here. I've been given the best treatment ever. I've had lovely drives. I've stayed in really wonderful hotels. And I'm like, you shill.
Yeah.
You absolute shill.
And then he has the gall to back out of the next one because, it's become a mainstream issue.
Yeah, exactly.
And my morals only apply when it becomes a mainstream thing and more people can, see what I'm doing.
Oh, is this going to hurt my Hollywood career? Probably better back out then. Yeah. Not a great moment. And actually, equally around that sort of time, Survivor Series 2018 might be my least favourite point of WWE of the whole year, just from a sort of a kayfabe standpoint, taking out the real world stuff. Just awful weeks of TV, a dreadful pay-per-view, and just like stalling everything to build this pointless Raw vs. SmackDown nonsense. I hated that period of time.
Yeah, after loads of other things. And that, granted, the final two matches were very, very good.
Excellent.
But then awful, like the worst run of Raw for a long time. Like even the dark days of late 2016 when it was just Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn and... Roman. No, Chris Jericho and Roman Reigns in infinite matches, like even that was more watchable because you had Jericho and Owens.
Yeah. And what have you got on your worst?
I am going to go for Bobby Lashley's beautiful sisters.
That he
course.
Loves very, very much.
Just Lashley comes back. You know he was going to come back because he left Impact in like January.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously didn't have any ideas for him because he just did Braun Strowman hot tags for a month. And then they're like, he's not getting over.
Why not?
Get him over? And they did. They made him a family man.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want from a guy who looks like God.
Who was walking Armageddon.
Walking Armageddon. And he does this, just an atrocious interview with Renee Young.
Yeah.
Where he talks about his three beautiful sisters, looks into the camera at the end when Renee's trying to wrap things up and just says, sorry, I just want to say one more thing. Says the names of his sisters. I love you. And that was the day that Bobby Lashley's soul died.
You can see it dying behind his eyes. Then it led to the awful Sami Zayn segment a couple of weeks later and things like that. On terms of like real life things, I suppose we couldn't go without saying that Roman Reigns' leukemia announcement's got to be, it's probably the most shocking announcement in the history of WWE. It was tragic. An awful, awful announcement to be made.
I didn't include that in my worst, just because it seems like...
It's too real.
Yeah, well, the Saudi Arabian stuff's too real. Yeah, I'm not saying like it should be in the best or anything. It feels like it's outside of wrestling. And it's something that, like, best and worst, I feel like are things that WWE had control over.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is just something that that they couldn't have done anything to prevent.
And funny enough, actually, because you had Cena and Taker at Mania on yours, but I've actually got all of that Cena build for the squash match at Mania. And any person,
I don't like it.
Well, here's the thing. I loved it at the time. And that's because in my head, I'd written a story of just like, oh, and they're going to announce Cena versus Undertaker for next year's WrestleMania, and we're going to do a year-long build, and Cena will be ready for it, and that's the story we're going to tell. And so I'd written this better story in my head, and I got excited for that story. Now looking back on it, I'm like, what was it all for?
Yeah.
What was it all for?
It was just for a bit of fun.
Awesome.
WrestleMania 34 is insane. And that is just one of the low level bits of insanity that happened on that show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But you just to run through a greatest hits.
Yep.
Roman versus Jinder was actually a feud
That nearly went further. Remember they were going to do it for like a long stretch of time.
Just Backlash being
dreadful pay-per-view.
Quite comfortably the worst pay-per-view of the year. Possibly even the whole brand split.
Yeah.
There's nothing redeemable on that show. And it was main evented by Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Just another terrible feud.
Bad stuff.
A real damp fart of a main event.
Yeah, bringing back Daniel Bryan just to feud with Big Cass.
Mm-hmm. Tamina.
Tamina returned.
Tamina just showing up on Raw.
Yep. NXT call-ups, General. Bad year for NXT call-ups. With the exception of Drew, it's been a bad year for NXT call-ups. But you said that's a return rather than...
It's a main roster return. Of course, Enzo Amore, that whole scandal blew up this year. That's just rubbish. Like, because I was really behind Enzo, and he just turned out to be... A bit of a absolute liability of a human being.
Even if he was sort of, you know, proved innocent at the end of the day, he didn't handle the situation particularly well, by all accounts. What else have I got here? Actually, speaking of Roman, him not winning at WrestleMania or Greatest Royal Rumble, I think I've felt really, really derailed Roman's momentum.
And WWE's.
And WWE's for like the first half of 2018. Where like we were building to Roman winning at WrestleMania the whole of 2017. The whole point of that year was for Roman to win at WrestleMania the following year. And he didn't. And then we just didn't have the Universal Championship for months and months, and no one was doing anything. It really derailed Raw massively, him not winning there, or a Greatest Royal Rumble. I think that both of those are two catastrophic errors.
And I guess we haven't got it on either, actually. Just Braun Strowman not winning.
Yeah.
Brock winning again, meaning we haven't got the Universal Champion on Raw. Just Raw. Raw a lot this year has been woeful.
It's had some good months.
Yeah.
It had some really, really,
some really
strong...
Good shows.
Really, really strong stuff. But, yeah, on the whole, not been a great year for Raw.
Just one more thing from me. When the Ronda Rousey-Nia Jax match was announced, that was done on the red carpet.
The Money in the Bank one,
more recent one, first one. And Charlotte just got them both together and was like, this is going to be good.
Woo! We were there at the O2 and saw that being broadcast for the first time on WWE TV. Mm. Your face. Oh, I'll never forget it. It made me laugh so much.
Well, it's just that thankfully the women's division's come a long way.
Yeah.
But that was still a thing this year where they announced women's matches on the red carpet.
Yep.
That's just terrible.
And speaking of women's division badness, Carmella as SmackDown Women's Champion for so long and beating Asuka twice on pay-per-view just made Asuka look so awful. And, of course, you can't mention the Bayley versus Sasha Banks nonsense that we had for so many months. But let's see what you think.
All of it's been WWE. I can't think of many. I mean, we don't watch other promotions as in-depth, but I can't think of any negative things. I guess ROH not capitalizing.
Well, that would be my, yeah.
Like ROH not signing the Elite and just giving them all the money in the world and Sinclair giving ROH more money. So it's more of a Sinclair issue than an ROH one.
Yeah.
That's the only real big mistake I can think of that's not WWE related.
But also just not being able to capitalize on any of the momentum that they had, which is a real shame, really.
Well, they sold out Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
And I feel like they could have done...
But did New Japan sell out? Because it's only been New Japan stars confirmed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Citiz Zen says giving the Universal title back to Lesnar instead of someone like Drew, Braun or Finn. At Moti Sharon says Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan. At Viracar Camilo, all of the Moment of Bliss segments were crap.
Oh, they were really good.
I enjoyed those. Yeah, I liked them.
Randy Datsun was rewatching one in the office yesterday, I think. And he started laughing because there's the bit where Bliss says, and she just sat there with two steaks, eating them and laughing.
It's so good. I thought they were really good.
Talking about Nia Jax.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. At WrestlePhoto_UK, Revival buried at Raw 25.
Do you remember defending that?
Because it didn't matter.
You said it gave them the rub.
No, I said they think it gave them a rub. I never defended it. I was Pritchard-ing that scenario and saying they think it gives them the rub.
Yeah.
At Jared Conister says Takahashi breaking his neck.
Mm.
Hiromu Takahashi, unfortunately. And he also had Samoa Joe being jobbed out at Survivor Series.
Oh, God, it was so quick.
Yep.
Forgot about that.
At Diana Gilday, Drake Maverick pissing himself at Survivor Series.
Totally.
Yep.
Definitely.
At Noisy Noir, Child winning the Raw Tag Team titles.
Hey, that was fun.
Yeah. What I don't remember here is Cena going over Balor. I'm guessing that was in the Gauntlets?
I think this was after Balor had that Iron Man performance in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, okay.
And then you had Seth Rollins do the Iron Man performance in the Gauntlet match. And then you're like, oh, okay, so...
The two Iron Men.
This is, like, these two have got momentum. And then Balor was just lost to... Oh, no. Kane wasn't around then, was he?
No, he came back for... he was there because he was at the Royal Rumble.
Kane beat Balor the next night, I think. Or was that a different time that Balor got a push? There have been so many pushes that Balor stalled on. I can't remember
which. Can't keep up with all of them. At Chirella John, I got into wrestling after watching Asuka at WrestleMania 34, and I almost quit after her, quote, match with Carmella at Extreme Rules. Prayers 2019 will be Asuka's year. I mean, she is the champion. I mean, granted, this was, we asked these before she did win the belt. at Will Boll CAFC, the Hell in a Cell that ended in a non-finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were very unhappy about that.
Thumbs down emoji. He's got, so CAFC... If my Kent upbringing has taught me anything, those letters stand for Cholton Athletic Football Club.
I could very well be. At Keelbraham says
most football fans from Kent, or at least from the bit where I'm from, will have that in their password somewhere, usually with their year of birth.
He has two suggestions. Nia breaking Becky Lynch's face.
But that comes with a big silver lining.
I agree.
I don't think, because that means that Becky versus Ronda will now likely main event WrestleMania.
I agree.
It's a much better long-term story overall. So I know where you're going with it. Like, screw you, Nia Jax. But actually, step back. I think it's a big positive.
I agree. And he also adds, that effing table during Eddie Dennis versus Mark Andrews. The match was amazing, but that table was an a-hole.
Yeah. Stupid table.
Stupid table. Daryl
just gently saw them underneath. I thought that's how you did these
that,
things.
I felt so bad for them. When everyone was just openly laughing at the match, I just felt so sorry for them. Daryl Lee 123 suggests Bailey.
The show was too long.
It was too
long.
It was a system.
The people were already a bit fidgety, and they just wanted to see the main event. So
he suggests Bailey and Sasha's counselling sessions.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
no, yeah. Yeah, bringing back Dr. Shelby for those 2 weeks. He didn't even do anything in the second week because they realised how bad the first week was. Mm. At Top Rope Taylor says, the fact that WWE somehow managed to make us not want to see Styles versus Nakamura ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Dogma WOW, WWE making me not want to see Asuka anymore. I'm going to guess that's changed since.
Yeah, they've done a good job in the last 3 weeks, but they did an awful job for 7 months there. So
yeah, absolutely. At Rios Grand suggests, when Ollie lost the greatest jacket.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully I'll win it back in 2019.
At Scooby-Doo 992 suggests Kevin and Sammy getting injured.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not like they were doing anything. I don't wish injury on anyone, but I'd rather them not be on telly than just be fodder for Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns.
Well, remember when
and Braun Strowman.
Kevin Owens quit.
Yeah.
And then just came back a week later. And then it came back a week after that and just said, like, Baron Corbin has said, I can do anything I want on Raw and there's no consequences. And then that storyline was just completely dropped and never brought up again. At CMN1995 says, everything Brie Bella did in 2018. I think that's slightly unfair.
Slightly. She made one horrific botch and then loads of hilarious botches. But, that feud got good in the end.
Yeah.
I think the Bellas versus Ronda was really good.
At Tippity Top says, the absolute age it took to release Neville or Pac. And he also adds the Hell in a Cell poster.
Oh, God, that was awful. Braun's done up as a devil. And Roman Reigns is like this weird serpent thing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
The Neville point's a really good one because we were really excited. Like, we were really sad.
Yeah.
Because Neville could have been in both the best of the Super Juniors tournament or the G1. Granted, I don't think that's... He doesn't really care because he's gone to Dragon Gate.
Because he's a proper bastard.
Yeah, but hopefully, next year that'll happen.
Yes. At George Knight 20Y suggests the Ambrose heel turn horribly executed in using cancer to fuel a storyline. Controversial, but it needs to get talked about, I think.
So I'm not going to disagree with you. I personally thought it was ingenious because they built on that real life emotion. But the route they took with it afterwards just makes that initial term feel a bit exploitative.
I completely agree. Like this one from at Monty Lord 1. The fact that a 44-year-old man won a tournament he wasn't in, then proceeded to run around the ring for longer than the match actually went.
Yeah, longer than Braun and Brock as well.
Yeah.
Or just slightly.
Ember not winning the Evolution Battle Royal, he also adds. And this one I completely forgot. Dolph Ziggler randomly returning at the Royal Rumble. Like, that whole storyline that they started last year and then just dropped and he just came back. What was that all about?
Yeah, and kind of the B team as well.
Oh, man. Remember when we were at the O2 and we were like, oh, the B team's great. And then the following week we were like, this team sucks.
Yeah.
Because they went from being a fun one-night act to being the most annoying thing on Raw.
They could have been a fun jobber act.
Yes.
Every other week.
Yep, but they kept...
But
they won the belts.
They really forced that down our throats.
Yeah, I would say like the treatment of tag teams in WWE in 2018 has been very, very bad. At Monday's podcast, just the Tamina push. Well, gosh, not sure you can say she's had a push, but...
Yeah, she was paired.
Yeah. At Mr_Guy_X, turning Drake Maverick and AOP into a piss joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. At Brett KB2000, Bobby Lashley pointing at his butt.
I don't mind that. I think that's quite... That's probably the funniest part now, just because it's so stupid.
Yeah. Dylan Prude, Baron Corbin, just Baron Corbin.
He's been really good. Don't buy into WWE's narrative. It's not really his fault.
Yeah. What else have we got here? The Revival getting the rub, Sasha Banks and Bayley's whole year, Hiromu's broken neck, and at Smithers M8 says James Ellsworth in general and those nobodies at Cultaholic winning the prediction. Still miss you, jackets.
I feel you, Smithers, miss M8.
So those are your suggestions. Sorry we couldn't get through everyone's. We really thank you so much for all of your submission, but we didn't have time to go through every single one. But I'd think it's been some pretty bad stuff. But as I said, it's all WWE related. But what I'd like actually about this year, so we did this show last year in 2018, and probably to the surprise of no one, we got more entries in for the worst moments than we did for the best moments. This year, it was the other way around. We got so much more positivity sent to us than we did negativity. So that's a big thumbs up.
Yeah, and I think that's because 2018's worst moments have been really bad.
Yeah.
Like, worse than 2017's. So maybe that's why everyone just funneled into those tits.
Absolutely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.